Okay, we are live. So we are a few minutes late. Apologies about that. We had a few, well, I had a few technical difficulties. But we're on the air. So welcome, everyone. This is On.NET, a weekly show where we discuss .NET related stuff with the .NET team and guests. And today, our guests are building PHP compiler for .NET. Hi, guys.
Hi. Hi.
And I forgot to make introductions. I'm Bertrand from the .NET team, and we also have Stacy from the .NET team as well, but apparently she disappeared for some reason. Hopefully she'll be back. There she is. Hi, Stacy. Welcome back. And why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
Hey, hi. My name is Jacob. I'm from Prague, from Czech Republic. I'm currently occupied as a PhD student on Charles University in Prague. So that's me.
Yeah, my name is Ben. I'm also from Prague, and I'm no longer a student. I actually finished approximately half a year ago at the University of Economics.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So PHP on .NET, so tell us about that. That sounds like such a weird thing to do. And actually, there was a project before that was called Phalanger, right?
Right. Yeah. Okay. So we'd like to introduce the pitch pie.
Yeah.
I can tell something about Phalanger later.
Yeah, we'll get into Phalanger in just a second. So basically, pitch pie, as you said earlier, is a PHP compiler to .NET. So essentially, it takes this legacy PHP code and compiles it into a modern, secure, and safe platform that is Microsoft.NET. In addition to being a compiler, it's also a runtime, so it's actually capable of running existing PHP applications as well. And as you said earlier, there has been a project similar to it before called Phalanger, which actually Jacob worked on.
Actually, Phalanger is a pretty old project. It started here in Prague on Charles University by Tomasz Matoušek and Ladislav Prošek, who worked later for Microsoft. And the project is about 8 or 9 years old, so it's a pretty old project. It proved we can not only compile PHP code to .NET and make it faster, we can also make it compatible with the legacy normal PHP runtime. So if something works in PHP, it can work in .NET.
So does it mean that I can run WordPress on .NET?
Yeah, right. Phalanger proved that WordPress can actually run fully compiled on .NET. In addition to that, we've been working on university on some techniques to analyze the code and make the compilation even better. So with Phalanger, the compiled code was faster and fully running on .NET, but with PHP 7 is faster than Phalanger, and of course we would like to be better. So There's this new project, PeachPie, that's trying to make it even faster, thanks to the new techniques we found out on the university. So we'd like to talk about PeachPie state.
Yeah, I mean, unless you have any questions at this point, basically, we want to just very much stress that it's still in the very early phases at this point, so actually, the GitHub is still called PeachPie Concept on purpose, because we don't quite think that it's past the conceptual stage just yet. At this point, we kind of understand the syntax, or we understand the syntax of PHP 5.6, and we're able to create portable .NET assemblies. We're able to create executables, DLLs, but we haven't implemented a handler for a web server yet. So it's still very much early on, and a lot of people ask us, for example, if it already supports PHP 7, and the answer to that is no, it doesn't at this point, but it will in the future. It's obviously on our roadmap.
Okay. What do you do about the libraries? How do you get the huge number of libraries for PHP that come with PHP? How does that how How does that work on the .NET platform?
Okay, you are talking about rewriting the PHP libraries to .NET?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but thanks to the Flanger, Flanger is almost complete, and everything was rewritten to C Sharp. So in case of PeachPy, we are just taking all the code that was written in Flanger, and we are using it in PeachPy. That's not a big deal, because it's already written. The big deal is the core of the compiler, because that's something we had to rewrite from scratch.
And you're building that on Roslyn, right?
Right. That's right. Because our goal is to make the compiled code much faster, comparable to C Sharp compiled code. And one of the big advantages of Roslyn is it provides a lot of libraries, a lot of low-level tools, low-level APIs we can use to build a better compiler than Flanger was. So a part of the Roslyn is, for example, ability to process compilation in parallel. So you can take advantage of multi-core or many-core CPUs. You can also generate or emit the MSIL in parallel. It wasn't possible before, and with Roslyn it is. So you can really make the compilation process n time faster, from minute to 2 seconds, for example. It's really that big change. And one another big change in Roslyn is the ability to compile the project iteratively. So if you compile once your big PHP project, the next compilation will be just in a second, because all the stuff it loads, all the stuff it needs to do, can be saved and reused in the next compilation. So really, the big problem with Flanger was, for example, a huge project about 5,000 or 10,000 files took about 2 to 5 minutes, and now it can be 2 to 10 seconds. So it is really important, these changes Roslyn introduced. Well, that's the Roslyn. So if you have any questions about this?
Yeah, so were there any features of the PHP language that were particularly challenging to implement on top of Roslyn?
Oh, sure. As you know, PHP is a dynamic language. So basically, there are no types in the compile time, and all the types are resolved in runtime. Later, I can show you in our demo how PeachPy translates the dynamic calls to the static MSIL language. Also, I will show you that the things we found out on university about the static code analysis are used in the PeachPy. So basically, these are two things that helped us to create compiler of dynamic language. Maybe I can show you the demo already.
Sure.
I have prepared the project.
Okay, so let me switch to
here it is.
There it is.
You can see it, yeah?
Yep.
Cool. So here you can see Visual Studio with a PHP code. Probably you are wondering, it is colored and syntax highlighted. That's thanks to the PHP Tools extension for Visual Studio. So if anyone wants to program PHP in Visual Studio, I would recommend this PHP Tools extension. Anyway, here is a sample PHP code, and you can see legacy standard classes, you can see functions, you can see function overriding. Here you can see some other stuff I will show you. Just for demonstration purpose, I've prepared the process of debugging. So I will compile this piece of code with PeachPy with parameters debug plus and the name of the file. So I'll just hit F5, compile it, and as the result of this process, I have standard .exe file. It can be also DLL file. It's the same, almost. And since it is .NET, I can show you the file, for example, in MSI. Oh, can you see it?
It's small. It's a little small.
Search. Let's zoom it. Cool.
Yeah, that's much better.
So, this is .NET assembly containing PHP objects.
Mm-mm.
Here is, for example, my dog. This is dog in C sharp. This is dog in PHP. You can also see it took advantage of commentary over the fields. This is another thing I will talk about, the type safety of PHP language in .NET.
Yeah, so those are annotations. Is it something that is completely specific to PHP or something that other?
It's specific to PHP. It's PHP standard way of commenting the code. So all the parsers, all the tools understand this syntax, and it's pretty all over the code, all over the world. Every PHP file has this kind of syntax, this kind of commentary. So it creates legacy .NET assembly with functions and so on. It actually creates this stuff, this MSIL.
Can you see that okay or?
Yeah. So what happens if you don't add type annotations? What does it use?
Sorry?
If you don't use type annotations,
yes, sure. There is another field without the annotation, and it compiles as a generic PHP value type.
Hmm.
So there is a special kind of type in PHP. It's a PHP value, and it's very very smart structure. It's a very smart value type containing a virtual table of methods and runtime values, etc. needed to run the code efficiently. Anyway, this is the compiled code.
We also actually talked about the commentaries in a blog post where we mentioned that by simply adding this commentary, you can actually speed up your application
by
10 times.
That's right. Since PHPy analyzes the code and takes this commentary into account, it uses it to provide type analysis and to compile or to output better code, cleaner and type safe. So this is the compilation process. For now, it handles the classes, functions, methods, most of the arithmetic operations. It handles calling methods, etc. In this case, calling methods is something you've asked about, because as you can see, in PHP there is no mention about the type of the variable, so the PHPy have to handle it. And there are several ways of doing it. I can, for example, delete the commentary and compile the code. Wait for it. And in the result, the function takes an untyped argument of type value. And the runtime will handle it, will just work. Anyway, I can add the comment, or I can, in order of PHP syntax, I can just write its doc and compile it. And with this change, it creates really type safe and regular variable of type variable. And all the calls like accessing the field is static as you would type it in C sharp. And according to our benchmarking, it's about, I don't know, 50 times faster than PHP 7, which is great.
Wow.
Anyway,
depending on the micro benchmark.
Right.
Anyway, if I just leave it as an ordinary value without any type information, and in case type analysis isn't able to find out what type it is, it stays as a value, and the compiler creates this piece of code called callSite. It's actually used in C# when you are using dynamic keywords.
Yes.
But here it is a little bit faster since all call sites I created once in the static constructor. And in C# it is created in place when you use it. So there is less code to create the call site. So it is a little bit faster, about 10 to 15% faster. Because there are no branching of the code and CPU doesn't like branches. Yeah. So there is a call site, and if you don't know, call sites are very smart objects and very smart caches that creates the actual code in runtime based on the types and values of its parameters. So in this case, in the first call, it determines the types of variables, and it finds out that X is of type dog, and it finds its method bark, and it creates actual call to the method, caches the created ill, and uses this ill the next time you call the method bark on an untyped variable. X.
Very nice.
I can show you how it works.
Sure.
Actually, sorry?
I said sure, please.
Okay. Actually, one more thing. We can already debug the PHP code in Visual Studio because with Roslyn we are generating PDB files already. So I can just put a breakpoint here and I've associated debugging of this project just as running the created exe file. So I can debug the project by debugging another project. Cool. So here I'm static in the function, and can you see
It's a small, but yeah, and on the live view, it's barely readable. But I don't think there is much you can do about those, except maybe if you have the magnifier, the Windows magnifier.
Yeah, I don't have any zooming here, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, I can debug the code. I can take advantage of all the diagnostic tools in Visual Studio, so I can see. It took 72 milliseconds to create the call site in this case. I can move the model breakpoint back.
Interesting.
And it's 1 millisecond.
Yeah.
Nice. So it called bark methods. I can call it again and see what it does. Okay. Interesting here. Nope, somewhere else. Bark. Yeah, I would like to call this function. So here I am. So I will call the bark 3 times. And you can see in the output I'm woofing here. You have to believe me. Also you can inspect the variables in the locals window, so I can see the name of my dog is Woofy and I can see some raw data.
What about a PHP value? What does a PHP value look like in there?
Okay, actually, the variable X is of type PHP value, so it is able to hold any PHP value, like integer.
Okay.
And
I mean, in the locals window, it says the.
I've adjusted the debug view of the variable, so I can see currently it contains dog. Of type dog.
Right, so it's of type PHP value, but it contains a dog.
I can see the internals of the PHP value, so there is
nice.
There is some stuff you actually don't need to handle. These three fields are most important. Actually, PHP value is an union of integer, double, boolean, and so on, and string, and object, and array, and all this stuff. And first field of the PHP value is a pointer to a methods table that defines the operations of the PHP value.
Mm.
So after the jitter optimizations, it's pretty fast as well. I can show you how the PHP value changes when you assign different values into it. For example, variable A is PHP value as well. As you can see, I can assign integer number here, then double, and then I can assign a boolean value, and it changes its type over time. Okay, there's another example. I have implemented a Leibniz function for computing pi, and here you can see the type analysis of the function finds out all the types of the variables, and there is no PHP value. All the types are of type double or long, and there is nothing dynamic here. This piece of code is compiled fully statically, so it is as fast as it would be written in C#. And I can debug it as well. So here I'm stepping the code, looking, values are changing, and iterating through the algorithm, and watching the Pi being better and better. Okay. Also, I can take advantage of the new Visual Studio feature that will tell me the return value of a function that was being called. So even if I'm stepping out of the function, I can see that function returned this value.
Mm.
So almost Pi. Nice. And last feature I'd like to show you is compilation of some ugly things in PHP that I think is pretty interesting. For example, arrays in PHP. Array in PHP is something that can hold almost anything. It's ordered.
It's somewhere between an array, a list, and a dictionary, right?
Yeah, exactly. That actually, it's all of it all together. It's array, list, and a dictionary together. It's ordered. It's keyed. Keys can be integers or strings. It can contain references or values.
Yeah, and that for people looking watching the show who don't know PHP very well, that is one of the most used data structures in PHP, right?
It is, right.
If you look at the source code of Drupal, for example, almost everything is an array.
Actually, in PHP, every object is actually an array internally. So array is heavily used structure in PHP. So it's also supported by PHPy already. As you can see, references are working already because I've referenced variable x, and through the reference, I've changed its value to 456. Also, you can see in debug view, I can see the array with its keys and values. And here's another cool feature. I can create objects as I can in PHP just by accessing a null with the object operator. Because on array in array at index 2, there's nothing yet. There's nothing, no index 2 yet. And just by accessing its field, I can not only create the item with index 2, I also create an anonymous class with the runtime field called clipoff. Mm. So it's another feature of PHP and PHPy, and you can create dynamic objects and dynamic fields very easily.
Yeah.
It's pretty nature of PHP. Yeah, that's almost everything I'd like to show you with the demo.
That's very nice. So you said earlier that it's very early and
it is, yeah. We can't do traits or animals classes or I don't know what's there also closures or this kind of stuff. It's not implemented yet. And also we have to copy all the library functions from the Phalanger. So it only contains mathematical arithmetic functions, and there is no for each support, there is no try and catch support, but it will be pretty shortly, I think.
And yeah, it's all... Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just saying, it's all completely open source, right?
It is, yeah. Okay.
I was going to ask a follow-up question to my previous question, which is when do you expect PitchPy to become something that, for example, you could run WordPress or Drupal on?
Yeah, it's tough to say. We have expected the question. It's hard to say. Yeah, I would say it's about 3 to 6 months. It kind of depends if we're going to be able to get help with it in some way, either through contributions on GitHub or obviously we're looking to find somebody here locally who, you know, could join the team and we could split the tasks, I guess.
So you are making a call to contributions.
Yes, we are, yeah, locally, at least in Prague.
Yeah. So if any people watching this want to contribute, we'll give the link to the GitHub repository in the description.
That would be great.
So it looks like there's two questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the first is asking how you install PeachPy. They wanted to know, do you have a Visual Studio extension available?
Not yet. There is another extension called PHP Tools, which is for regular PHP development. But maybe you are planning to extend this PHP Tools extension. There's no plans yet. We are pretty occupied with programming PeachPy because it really needs some time to finish the core of the compiler yet, and then integrate it into development environments.
What's already provided here by that extension seems to be already fairly comfortable. I mean,
this extension, as you can see, is fully functional for PHP language, for legacy PHP language. There is no integration for all the .NET stuff and for the building process. So that's it.
So is it something that do you think that you could contribute to that extension, maybe, to get better integration with PitchPy?
Actually, we can, because it's mine extension, so... so we can, yes. I'm working on this extension with a colleague from the company, so...
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so the other question is, they say, I'm currently using Atom as my PHP editor and IDE. Can I try using Visual Studio as my IDE with these tools for just regular PHP?
Yeah, that's what I said. These tools I'm using now are for regular PHP, so definitely you can use it. And the great news is it's been published on DreamSpark, so all the students all around the world can get it for free. So yes, you can.
So what about interoperation with other .NET libraries, for example?
I would like to show you another demo.
Good question.
Because as you can see, there is a PHP code and it's compiled. It's compiled as a .NET assembly. It's a regular. I'll just make it object to make it.
Yeah.
Nice.
So as long as your public APIs don't expose PHP values directly, but expose standard .NET objects, and types, then you should be fine, right?
Right. You can directly call compiled PHP functions and types from within C Sharp, and the other way. It will be also possible to call .NET types from PHP. So.
Yes, okay. And reversely, if you want to use a .NET library, how does that work? Do you just add a reference and then you get?
If you have a command line, you just write /r/r double colon mscorlib, and it will be referenced, and all the types and methods from the reference library will be used directly from PHP. So it's regular C-sharp style of references.
And what does the resulting code look like? Because oftentimes, you know, when we try to include .NET libraries that weren't written with that specific language, you have to kind of adapt. For example, here we have a function what to bark, which is using the it's idiomatic PHP where you have underscores in the names. Do you do any translation of names so that it looks more idiomatic, or do you just take the .NET names and that's what you use?
Yeah, there are two parts of the process. First, we can handle it in compile time and resolve the method name and resolve its arguments and try to call it directly statically. And if it's not possible, if we don't know all the information needed for the static call, we just postpone it to the call side, and it's handled as a dynamic operation in call side, as the C Sharp does. So it uses iDynamic meta object provider, it uses all the dynamic stuff provided by .NET already. And
do you have an example that you can show of usage of a .NET API from your PHP?
As I said, we can't call .NET from PHP yet. I can show you calling.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
.NET, but it will be very soon.
I see. So that's not there yet.
I can internally. I can show you something. As you can see, the function foo takes an object of type x, and it needs a field name and function bark. So I can open a project in C Sharp. Projects, .NET. And I can show you both the interoperability with the .NET. First, okay, there is my compiled code. There are libraries needed for running compiled PHP code. I'll just add references to my C# project. To those libraries. So now I've referenced the compiled PHP code and its runtime here, PHP core and my test. And as you can see, I can just write doc, and there is a doc. I can create an instance of doc or big doc. And first thing, as you can see, most of the features in PHPy requires so-called context. Context is something that simulates PHP thread or PHP request context. Because PHP contains all the static variables and static fields, and these are not real static, so I have to create something called context.
Oh, so yeah. Even though your big dog actually doesn't explicitly take that context, or does it?
It means explicitly to take the context. It will store the context and works within this given context.
So some of the PHP does bleed out to your public API here.
Yeah. So now I have a PHP doc in C Sharp, and I can call not this. I can call again this context. I can call it with my dog. But also I can create dog in C Sharp. Dog in C Sharp that extends dog. Never done that actually before. And then I can use this C Sharp doc in PHP function. Then I can change what to bark. C Sharp bark. Yeah. There's a first interoperability barrier. Sometimes I have to wrap a value into a PHP value, but in future we will make implicit operators for that. So
yeah, it's work in progress, but it looks interesting that you are first deriving from something implemented in PHP in C Sharp, and you're doing overrides. That are shadowing the dynamic method on the base class.
I can override it again in PHP and then back override it. This override method in C Sharp, it will work. And also, I can debug this C Sharp code. Wait for it. I can debug this C Sharp code and step
into the PHP. That's very fun. That's very nice.
Yeah.
And it works with a C Sharp object in PHP. And it should write C Sharp bar. So there is
nice.
Crazy interoperability options for a PHP language.
Very nice.
It means you can, for example, take a .NET framework or .NET application, like a game engine, and you can script it in PHP now.
Yeah.
Why not, right?
Yeah, why awesome. Not?
One of the use cases that basically this would open up is that you can have this cooperation between, let's say if you have a team consisting of .NET developers as well as PHP developers, it used to be sort of a division between the two, and the cooperation isn't that easy. But with this, you can tell that with the both-way interoperability, it's fairly simple to cooperate, and you can do it all within a project and just take whichever language is more suitable for whichever feature you're working on.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Also, I could imagine, since PHP is pretty simple language, for some tasks you can choose PHP language as your development language and write parts of the code in PHP, since it's simpler, faster. You can write, for example, a view of your website in PHP and the backend in C Sharp, and it will be really real fast without any overheads.
Another application I see of this is that there is a huge quantity of PHP code out there, in particular, as you said, view code. So you have lots of templates that exist. For example, there is actually an extension of Orchard, the CMS, the .NET CMS Orchard, that I think was using Phalanger to reuse, templates that had been created for other PHP CMSs, stuff like that. So I could see a new version of that extension using PHPy, and maybe that would open up the usage of WordPress templates, for example, in Orchard, stuff like that.
Would be nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, obviously, if we can take it to the state of full finish, you could also use it on Microsoft Azure, for example, to allow it to process PHP much more effectively than it can now. That's right.
Yeah, just the performance improvements once you have feature completion, even without mentioning the .NET interoperability features, just the performance is enough to make it very valuable.
Even though we're not focused on performance at this point, so I mean, it would require some fine-tuning and stuff.
Well, it's already very fast in this stage of development. As you can see on our benchmark, on our blog, the results are very impressive.
Also, if you have links that you want to, you would like to put in the description, send them to me and I'll
share it there.
I want to ask, what is your motivation for developing PitchPy?
Okay, actually, I've been working with Flanger for about 6 or 7 years, and I've been thinking about so many improvements I can make, but the actual design of Flanger doesn't allow it. So I was just thinking about it, writing it, and I just wanted to make it really better. So I just think it has to be done.
Very nice.
Especially with Roslyn, which
Roslyn
took away a lot of the
Roslyn
troubles.
Roslyn was the big starter of the. It really helped a lot. And since we know some guys that actually writing Roslyn in Microsoft, and they are telling us the internals how it's better, how it's faster. We just have to try it. We just have to use it because it's really fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. Did you guys look at .NET Core yet at all?
Sorry?
.NET Core. Did you look at that? .NET Core.
Core.
C-O-R-E. Sorry for the pronunciation. .NET Core.
Well, PitchPy already creates portable libraries working on .NET Core. So it is portable. It can run on tablets, on Android, iOS, Linux, macOS. It can work everywhere. So that's another use case of the PitchPy. You can write one application and you can port it without actually doing anything. You can port it to any device, PHP or any device, right? For example, IoT. I was thinking about IoT.
Yeah, I think this is kind of the closest use case that we think we could be able to build at this point, which will demonstrate a decent amount of the advantages of PitchPy is kind of a cluster of, so you have a device where you can program your software in PHP for that device, so some kind of IoT device, just think of any. You can control it with an app that's built in C# and PHP, and connected to that you can make your user interface like a website in PHP basically, which is super simple, very easy to design. So this kind of cluster gives a good amount of the advantages of PitchPy and kind of demonstrates it.
Right, you can reuse a core of your application written in PitchPy in PHP and reuse it as a website view, as a core of an IoT device, as an app on your mobile phone, as an app on your Windows device. You can just reuse the same code in PHP on all the devices. That's the point.
So have you actually experimented with that, with actual devices?
Not yet. We've tried to buy an IoT starter kit, but it's sold out everywhere.
What particular board are you looking at?
Raspberry with some sensors and so.
We're not all that firm with IoT stuff, so we kind of have to experiment as on the go, kind of. But we have a couple of people here who would maybe be able to do something with it. So we're looking to do it, and I don't know, it could be anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks that we might be able to do something like this.
Yeah, Raspberry Pi is a solid choice. Okay, very cool. Very nice. Unless, Stacy, do you have any additional questions?
Nope, you've been asking them.
Yeah, well, thank you, guys. This is a really cool project, and thank you for the demos. That's very impressive. We will put some additional links in the description, but thanks again for being on the show, and we'll see you guys next week.
Our pleasure. Cool. Thanks very much.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Bye.